Welcome back to New Rock Stars. The trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home blows open the Spider-Verse with reveals or at least hints toward at least five villains from past franchises. Doc Ock, Alfred Molina, Green Goblin, Norman Osborn, Electro, Jamie Foxx, The Lizard, Reese Ifans, and Sandman, Thomas Hayden Church, scraping the bottom of the barrel there, but there are, no offense, those guys were great, but there are rumors that there is a sixth villain rounding out this Sinister Six lineup. How the hell is there room for anyone else in this movie? And is the sixth villain truly ungrateful fans who will somehow find a way to put dirt in our eye? This yes. is Rogue Theory, the show where we pitch the wildest theories for the nerdy titles we love. I'm Eric Voss, going rogue with me in this week of weeks is Mastertainment MT.
What's going on, guys? It's Spider-Man week. We made it. We are here.
We are
blessed with the trailer.
Also here with us is host of the Filmlosophers podcast, Eddie Villanueva.
Can I just say, it's about damn time, because I didn't think we were ever going to get this trailer. And now that it's here, I'm still not even sure we saw it. I feel like it's still the simulation. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
It was all a
we're
dream.
We're all dreaming.
And swinging in from her own dimension, it's Jessica Clemens.
Hey. I'm proud to say I didn't watch the leak video because I'm a true fan.
Hey, good
oh my
you.
God. True
I'm proud
patriot
of you.
Right here.
I'm
MCU
proud of
patriot.
You.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh,
what did you just do?
It's the canister for the computer, and I always accidentally get high.
Accidentally, Jess.
Accidentally. Oh. Likely yeah, story, Jess.
You guys found out my favorite paper bag on the table, and accidentally. Yeah.
You guys, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Just don't look at me. Don't look at me.
Though. It's impossible. Well, the No Way Home trailer teased five iconic Spider-Verse villains, Doc Ock, Green Goblin, Electro, Sandman, the Lizard. But rumor has it there is a sixth hiding in the shadows, maybe even hiding in plain sight. So, who do we think this villain is? The trailer gives us lots of clues that maybe Doctor Strange might have a bit more of an antagonistic relationship with Peter Parker than we thought. Also, some clues pointing to Mephisto. And there's plenty of other Spider-Verse villains left over that we don't really know yet. Like Michael Keaton as a Vulture, Scorpion, is Mysterio still alive? Venom and Carnage, are they gonna...
Ooh.
Whip into all this, maybe an alternate Peter Parker. Let's go through all these options. Let's start with Doctor Strange. Do we think Doctor Strange is going to be Peter Parker's
yes!
enemy?
Yes. Okay. Dude, I've been watching this trailer over and over again, and the hardest things about these trailers are piecing together their outfits and being like, he's not wearing this in this scene, he's not wearing this in this scene, there has to be a different person. Also, like, he didn't have this broke in a later movie, blah, 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 X Infinity. So I would love, this is also rogue theory, so why not go rogue? I would love for this Strange that performs the spell to actually be a variant of Kang the Conqueror.
Ooh.
Now I know, like, because he was saying that he was just like, oh, a bunch of me's are coming, a bunch of me that are really smart, a bunch of sorcerers that are really evil, and instead of being the evil sorcerer, but I would love it to just be Kang, like a variant of Kang just popping in there, and that could be the sixth one. I think it would be just so grounded for, like, after Loki, but I don't know how serious it could possibly be. I don't know if, like, because I was also, like, trying to figure out where the timeline matched with all of this, and it seems like it's so far that it could be true. I don't know. I just want it to be Kang. I just want it to be a variant of Kang so we stay on board.
You know, now that we have things like variants in the universe, it's just so hard to pin anything down. It's kind of like when Skrulls got introduced, like, Far From Home ended with Nick Fury turning back into a Skrull. So anybody could be a variant, anybody could be a Skrull. That deception makes it really fun to theorize about.
Yeah.
For me, when it comes to like Doctor Strange, it's hard for me to imagine him being a disguise for someone like Kang or Mephisto, but I could see him very likely having some kind of allegiance or loyalty or partnership with one of these entities.
Oh, and a different...
Like he knows about Kang or he knows 100%. About Mephisto. And the reason 100%. He's weird in this trailer is that he's like either trying to avoid them or trying to serve them unwittingly, you know?
100%. I'm jumping on that board because that would make more sense. And
so
also,
you think
I would love
Strange a made a bargain with a Kang.
I think with a
he
Kang.
He loves making him bargains.
He likes a good deal.
Who doesn't like a good deal?
I think MT hit on something though too as well, because I think one of the biggest things that we as the MCU fans have kind of pulled away from are the events that happened in the first Doctor Strange movie. And I am a huge fan of Chiwetel Ejiofor, and I honestly feel like Mordo has a role behind this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if he is either using some kind of incantation, maybe to disguise himself as Strange or even to have a sway over Strange with, you know, the efforts with Dormammu behind him, you know, because one of the unique things about the trailer, and mind you, just like Jess, I've been rewatching this thing like crazy. One of the unique things that I saw at the very beginning was, you know, when he's looking at those little witch figurines. And if you look at the one that he's actually looking at, he actually has a goatee and he has teeth. And it's like, oh, my God, you're seriously looking at something that's been manipulated to get his attention. So I feel like I don't think that Doctor Strange is trying to lead him to himself, but I think it's someone else who's trying to lead him to Doctor Strange because there's already a hold on Doctor Strange in some way or some form. But I feel like Dormammu and Mordo have kind of a play in this as well, because I feel like there's still some kind of saltiness. There's got to be some kind of saltiness from Dormammu from at the end of Doctor Strange. So
yeah, I think if Doctor Strange has some kind of hold over him, like, why would he engage Peter Parker in this spell? Do we think Doctor Strange planned on that spell going awry? Or is that genuinely something that happened outside of his control and now he's panicked?
Oh, I just think it's a spell that just went totally wrong. I think that he tried to do it and he was like, yo, I saved the universe like a zillion times. This is what I do. I freaking beat Dormammu. I beat Thanos. I beat death all day. Like, this is, no one can beat me because I'm the smartest dude in the multiverse. And so he does it, and things go wrong. And so, I think it's just a weird accident.
That's why I was thinking it had to be, like, a variant of him, because I was also like, what if this variant isn't as, like, as well-to-do as our Doctor Strange? He's just, like, slightly a little bit under. And so I was like, what if he just completely messed up on this spell on purpose and was like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I really don't care.
See, I think Doctor Strange could be an antagonistic force to Peter Parker in this movie, but I don't think we would consider him the sixth villain, because in my mind, the only way that works is if Doctor Strange is the only villain and the other Sinister Six characters we're seeing are actually neutral characters or people caught up in a mess, and then they don't really know how they tie into the broader plot, and it's like Doctor Strange pulling all the strings. So I wouldn't consider Doctor Strange the sixth villain. He would just be like the twist Kang behind it all, or whatever you would.
Would you consider the coming together of the Sinister Six or Sinister Seven, however many there may actually be that haven't been told, do you think that's something that's going to be preconceived prior to the events of whatever Doctor Strange and Spider-Man do, or it's going to occur during the film?
That's kind of a question, right? Like, how planned was this multiverse collision? I mean, if you consider someone like Kang or Mephisto being behind this, ultimately planned, everything's going according to plan. But if you consider it like an accident, then Eddie's other alternative is probably the truth, that they just meet each other and they're like, hey, you're from another universe too? You're from another universe? Hey, there's like six of us.
You get your ass whooped by Spider-Man? I get my ass whooped by Spider-Man.
We have so much in common.
I got my whooped and my ass whooped by Spider-Man. Honestly, and that, it's like, imagine a jail cell where they all got out at the same time. It's like, we're going beelining for Spider-Man. So why not work together just like immediately when you come out of that hole to just go find the first man in a spider suit?
I think it's the latter. I think like these characters are going to be trapped in a kind of prison. I honestly think like that cube is a pocket prison. It's a Ghostbuster trap and they all share it together. And it's going to be like Usual Suspects. They're all in confinement and they're like, hey, let's plan a new heist together. And it's like the cops created this scenario by introducing these criminals together. But in The Usual Suspects, there was a Kaiser Soze at the end of the day. So we should talk about Mephisto. There either already is a video on the channel or there will be a video soon with my whole theory on Mephisto. But like, yeah, there are some signs pointing to like Doctor Strange being unusual, that devil in disguise sign, the One More Day comic that this seems to be based on. But I just, my gut tells me that we're not going to see a devil smiling at someone through a mirror unless that devil is Willem Dafoe doing his bit. Like I don't think Mephisto's going to be in this movie, but I think, as always, characters could secretly be manipulated by Mephisto. Like, I think we may see like a post-credit scene where Doctor Strange just hears a voice from the shadows, and that's what's freaking him out and what causing him to make these irrational choices. But what do you guys think about Mephisto?
Quick and easy. I don't think he's going to show up in this, but I do think they're definitely teeing up, if they want to, down the line, to literally slide him in. There's so many places to put him, and also they're just like teasing us by putting like so much stuff in
there. Yeah, I think so, but too.
They're just doing that because they're tired of everybody. They're tired of us being tired of us. He's there. He's tired of... They're tired of Voss. Cover your ears. They're tired of Eric Voss. So
I didn't have time.
They're tired of him bringing up Mephisto and everyone riding that train. But no, I don't think he's gonna show up in this. And
they're like, is Mephisto on even on the board? Hold on. No.
Yeah, that, every scene. And there's so many times I've watched so many different videos of people being like, let's zoom in, like enhance to find an M, like a red M or something. And I'm like, no,
you know,
dude,
what?
It's not Mephisto.
And that's what drives me crazy. People think those are New Rockstars videos. We didn't do that crazy of shit.
Nope.
These are these TikTokers who steal our shit and then put that incredible syndrome song over it.
It is.
Zoom in.
The amount of times that I'm like reading just like people, friends talking about it on Discord, and they're like, yo, wonder what Eric Voss is going to say. And I'm like, how does everybody just, like, Voss didn't come up with this. It wasn't Voss's thing.
I never said the butterflies were Mephisto. I never said the crane was Mephisto. But everyone thinks I said everything
I mean,
was Mephisto.
Hey, any publicity is good publicity, but still.
No, it's not.
Not when it comes to the devil.
He's like, Jessica, how dare you?
But I think Mephisto ultimately is kind of maybe too big of a villain to be considered the sixth of you know, six villains. Like, he would overshadow the others with his cosmic devilish powers.
Yeah, so, he doesn't need the others at all. He can just do it himself. He's a cosmic villain.
Yeah, he's the Justin Timberlake of that super secret boy band.
There you go.
I'm going solo. I don't need y'all.
Yeah. One day, Mephisto will apologize for making a single about Britney, and then his Britney is trapped in a conservatorship. Anyway.
Exactly.
But let's talk about some lower tier options who could be part of a Sinister Six lineup, like Vulture or Scorpion. Mm-hmm. Are you guys thinking we might see them again?
Yes, I think, because my guess for the sixth member of the Sinister Six is Prowler. Because we had Donald Glover
in the first movie,
and they set him up to be Prowler, and we haven't seen that yet. And since it's the third movie in this trilogy, and obviously they're most likely going to make another Spider-Man trilogy, it's probably going to be a Spider-Verse trilogy, fingers crossed. But, you know, we haven't seen that actually develop. So we could see either Donald Glover variant from our reality, or seeing a variant from another reality and popping up and being like, yo, I got beef with you, Peter Parker. Or maybe he could be seeing Miles Morales, because like in in the trailer, we see that Peter Parker is wearing the Raimi Spider-Man getup. And so what if all of the villains are seeing their version Peter Parker, and like maybe Prowler sees Miles Morales because like that's his Spider-Man, like different versions of Spider-Man. I mean, so like they see their Spider-Man. Just like, yeah, like I don't know, like I'm just gonna fight. Like, we all have personal beef with like this spider avatar. I don't know.
I would like love nothing more than for all of the villains to be fighting, and then Prowler just like, yeah, I should be fighting too, and jump into it, because that's the only way we could let him come in. But that seems like a good idea.
I like that idea a lot. Donald Glover was an interesting thing they set up in Homecoming. And I'd love to see him show back up as part of this team.
I think it would be a really fun, I guess, callback, if you will, to the mysterious final member would be, I mean, and this would be pretty interesting, especially with the, coming back of Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin. You know, having the head, if you will, someone who has the means to make these types of things feasible in terms of getting people together. That would be really great, especially when we're trying to make that bridge now from the TV series, version of Marvel into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That'd be a great bridge to use to create that from that aspect.
Yeah. What an interesting idea. And that could be a way we get Charlie Cox Daredevil in this too. Because I don't want, if we hopefully do get Charlie Cox in the MCU, I don't want him to be the only person to come from that side of the Netflix universe. I mean, D'Onofrio did such a great job with Wilson Fisk, and I'd love to see him be the kingpin of the MCU.
And he wants to do it so badly. So I know. Like, give it to him.
Fantastic. Now, I would imagine Sony's hope for the sixth member of the team would be like Venom or Carnage. Do you guys think they could show up? One of them could show up in this movie.
I think they're going to be the stinger at the end. I think that'd be so cool too. If that's how they're like going to bring, or not how they're going to bring them in, but I want them to show up so bad in this. How are you going to bring in every part, every villain, but you're not going to bring in any of those pieces? Like, I just want it so bad, but I still hold on to the fact that I think it will be like a stinger at the very end of the movie. that we'll see Venom or Carnage.
Oh, yeah. I think that the symbiote is definitely going to make some type of appearance in this movie, because this is a multiverse film and the symbiotes are, you know, a primordial, you know, ooze from the beginning of time. So, like, yeah, it just seems like if there is a link that you could, you know, easily introduce the symbiotes. And we have the Venom universe, and like Sony's doing their own thing with their own Sony Spider-Man characters that I'm sure that they want to link up in some way. So there's going to be some type of, whether it's like very, very loose link to the Venom universe that's going to introduce the symbiotes.
Yeah, I think that'd be really fun. Now, I have to address this. Do you think Mysterio could still be alive and Gyllenhaal could show
Absolutely.
Back up? Yeah.
That man is a snaky bitch. I do not trust Quentin Beck for 1 second, because freaking Nick Fury, I say this all the time, Nick Fury faked his death in Winter Soldier with that pill that he took, whatever the hell. So if you freaking Beck was had all this Stark's people and all these people like that hated Tony hanging out with him, he could have easily gotten that thing that to simulate his death. So he's just walking away scot-free.
Yeah, I don't think he's gone at all, especially with so much more possibilities with his character in that universe. And if Sony decides to bring him back and make him a much bigger part as the future continues for whatever they have in store for Spider-Man, I have no doubt that's a card that they're really holding close to their chest, and they're, you know, really hoping to play that right at the exact perfect time.
Now, the last option I want to ask you guys about, do you think the sixth member of the team could be an alternate Peter Parker, like emo Peter Parker, black suit, Venom symbiote Peter Parker could be the sixth member of the team?
It's possible, but I don't really see that being something, because they're also going to be doing something like that with Into the Spider-Verse, where they're going to be incorporating many more different variants, now we can say it, of Spider-Man in that realm. I don't know if they'd play the alternate universe Spider-Man version in this one.
Yeah,
it'd be an interesting...
I wanted to bring it up, but the alliances and alignments are a bit hard to see in that scenario. Mm. Like, would really even Black Suit, Tobey Maguire, Peter Parker want to align himself with Doc Ock and Green Goblin? Like, I don't know if he was that kind of evil, you know?
Yeah.
It would have to be a very specific set of circumstances that would make him want to join forces with them. Yeah. Possible.
But like, I think that, though, the evil Peter Parker thing is highly probable, because the Spider-Verse comics, I believe, and if I'm wrong, just you can edit this out, they came from the Shattered Dimensions video game, where at the end of that, it's revealed that Peter Parker is the villain behind the whole multiverse shenanigans. So, you know, there is some type of precedent for it, because those comics would not have existed without that video game.
Oh, so, there's precedence for everything.
There's probably a zillion Peter Parkers in the past as well.
You need to throw a rock and you have precedence. There it is. Just
it didn't happen, but if they were to make a Secret Wars in the MCU.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I would rather an evil Peter Parker come in than to fight Peter Parker then. Because I feel like this movie already has so much going on to make him like look in a mirror and fight himself is like another thing when he's already fighting like seven different enemies from different timelines. Yeah. So I don't think so, but I would love to see him go against himself eventually to be like, who would win?
Yeah.
Peter or Peter?
Peter. That's fine.
One last thought. What do you guys think about Kraven being that sixth member. Or if not,
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, I totally forgot about
Taylor Johnson.
Don't sleep on Craven.
That is, you know what? That is highly probable there, because like that would be a great little stinger for like the next trailer. Because it's like, what? Why are we seeing Quicksilver? Why is he here? And people are going to be like, oh my God, variants and Loki. Yeah, that's 100% a really good one. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I would like to see Kraven.
I would like to see Kraven. I love him more. I love reading him with the Sinister Six.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad to say. And honestly, please edit this out. I want to see the Lizard because he didn't have really a good job.
Oh.
But I was a huge fan. And I was like,
the Lizard.
Yeah,
the Lizard's already there.
Oh, wait, is he in it?
Yeah, he's in the trailer.
Yep. Wait, he's in the trailer.
I don't know why I was thinking Chameleon.
Well, then I'm not paying attention to the trailer close enough.
You got
to
watch my breakdown.
That is also. Look,
Lizard's in it. I thought she said Chameleon for some reason.
No, I said Lizard. Lizard's one of the. Okay.
Dr. Connors is coming back. He swipes. Some people thought it was Venom, but he's when Peter's in a dungeon that I think is that.
When he yells? When he yells?
No, it's Peter. He's like, and he turns around, and then
I kept freezing it, and it's too dark on my damn camera.
You gotta brighten it.
So I swear to God, I kept pausing it because I kept being like, this is someone. Edit this out. But I was like, this is someone. And I was like, trying so hard to figure it out. Should have watched the breakdown. That's on me. That's on me.
We covered some great options here. I'm going to award Jessica, you 1 point for, for this Kang idea. I think Strange might have had some connection with Kang, or either wittingly or unwittingly. I think Kang knew who Strange was. Strange might know who Kang was. So I'm giving you a point for that. MT, I love this idea of Prowler, and I honestly forget about Prowler, but in Spider-Man Homecoming, on Donald Glover's rap sheet, they list the name Prowler. So like he is established as Prowler of the MCU, and I think he's long overdue for a return. Yeah, Eddie, I'm going to give you a point for Kingpin. I think he is a classic Spider-Man villain. I think they already have a great actor for the part, and this way they could get both Charlie Cox and D'Onofrio in there. I'm going to give you a second point for Kraven, because Kraven, we know, is coming soon. He's got his own Sony movie coming up. I feel like this is going to be a place they'd want to introduce him. All right, great job, everybody. We want to talk more about the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, some thoughts about who left the AC running all night in the Sanctum Sanctorum. But first... Our merch partners at Epic Hero just released a really cool No Way Home inspired shirt, Tales from the Multiverse number 1. There's going to be other shirts in this series, and they're going to be limited edition, so get on it. They also have this What If inspired shirt, and there's like Loki and Suicide Squad inspired shirts and merch, all kinds of cool nerdy gear. So show your support for New Rockstars and get yourself some great nerdy gear at newrockstarsmerch.com. We want to thank Mint Mobile for sponsoring this episode. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, we have learned that there's always a catch. So when we heard that Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, we wondered what the catch could be. Well, the catch is there isn't one. They're the first company to sell wireless service online only. They cut out the overhead costs and pass on those sweet savings directly to you. And New Rockstars, Philip actually switched to Mint Mobile. He loves it. He got to keep his phone and his number, and he's saving a bunch of money. For people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text, plus high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and to get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/rogue theory. That's mintmobile.com/rogue theory. Cut your wireless bill to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/rogue theory. We also want to thank Hawthorne for sponsoring this episode. This summer, it's been easier than ever to drop our personal care routines, right? But with your personalized grooming kit from Hawthorne, it's easy to stay on track. Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that tailors your personal care routine to your unique profile. First, you take their quiz. They asked me questions about my skin type and how often I shave. It was really easy, and it only took a few minutes. At the end, I got an essentials bundle with the products tailored to my body type and lifestyle. I got deodorant, face wash, shampoo, and other products that are specifically selected for me. They all smell great, and I feel great when I use them. Hawthorne takes the risk out of shopping for personal care by giving you free shipping on your order and returns. With their subscription options personalized to your usage, Hawthorne makes sure you never run out of your essentials. Life is complicated. Hawthorne keeps it simple with a short study-back quiz that matches you with your perfect grooming kit. Looking your best has never been easier. So take Hawthorne's quiz today and get started on your personalized self-care routine by going to hawthorne.co and use promo code ROGUE to get 10% off your first purchase. That's HAWTHORNE.co, promo code ROGUE, hawthorne.co, promo code ROGUE. And we want to thank Simply Safe for sponsoring this episode. When Simply Safe Home Security's founders, Chad and Eleanor Lawrence, designed their first security system in their kitchen, they did it for a very personal reason. Their friends had just had their home broken into. They were struggling to find a security system that was simple to set up and would make them feel safe again. Editor John loves his Simply Safe system, and he got it because his mom loves hers. They are a multi-generational Simply Safe family. Making people feel safe is what Simply Safe has been doing ever since that moment 15 years ago. A passion to protect people not only drives every engineering detail in its products, but it motivates every interaction with its customers. Simply Safe makes it so easy. It takes about 2 minutes to customize the system on their website, simplysafe.com/rogue. Simply Safe has trained security experts ready whenever you need them, whether that's during a fire, a burglary, a medical emergency, or even just when you're setting up the system. There's always someone there who has your back to keep you safe. As our listener, you can save 20% off your Simply Safe security system and get your first month for free when you sign up for interactive monitoring service. Just visit simplysafe.com/rogue to customize your system and start protecting your home and family. That's simplysafe.com/rogue. All right, everybody. What happened to the Sanctum Sanctorum? Why is it frozen and covered in ice? Dr. Strange seems unable to use his magic to thaw it out. He's resorted to covering himself up in layers. Wong's getting the F out of there, packed his luggage, headed back to the Sanctum Sanctorum, it looks like. Probably soon going to be fighting with Abomination and a warmer climate. So what is going on here? Why is it frozen?
Oh my gosh. I truly think that just one of the doors that open to different like geographical places literally just erupted. Only because in the trailer it does have that man just like sweeping up
the
snow.
That guy?
So I don't think it's that big of a
Seriously,
deal.
Seriously, like an intern?
It's a wizard
in
training.
Servant? That'd be hilarious if Wong had his own servant because
he's just clean as snow. I feel like it was so minor to everyone around them because they were just like, we just put on jackets. Wong's getting the hell out of here. This guy's sweeping up the snow. He's shoveling. And Peter came in his normal outdoor clothes. So it's just like, it's only inside this bubble.
And the unique thing about that whole scene is that Doctor Strange is wearing his cloak and everything, but he's got like regular New York winter clothes under home winter clothes underneath. Yeah. It's like a sweat, like a college sweatshirt and sweatpants and everything.
Sweatpants.
So, mind you, this might not be the most popular idea, but I mean, going back, this was kind of a secondary idea to what we were talking about earlier with Doctor Strange. But what if Doctor Strange is going through a midlife crisis? The possibility of the fact that he died and came back, and now before he was kind of an arrogant person, and now he's like, you know, I'm gonna cherish like the whole like Mr. Scrooge kind of thing, you know, Christmas Carol, you know, and I'm gonna do these things. I'm gonna, you know, oh Peter, we did this together, so why not throw this together out there? And like kind of like part of like, you know, the weather changes, wanting to do things differently, shake things up, instead of it always being dark and gloomy, now it's like a winter wonderland inside the Sanctum Sanctorum. I was thinking, I'm like, man, what if he's just going through it? Like, what if he's just trying
going
to figure
through
life
something?
He's just trying to figure out life.
Maybe.
Where are
it's like,
they?
I just want to make a snowball, man. Like, Thanos stress me out. I just want to make a snowman, snowball.
Where are they in the timeline if Far From Home is way after this? So Far From Home and then this. So it's like, what was he doing during Far From Home? Do we know?
Exactly. Like, that's
yes.
What my answer was going to be.
Excuse me.
I think MT is affirming your curiosity and saying that we all are confused by this.
Okay.
Dr. Strange was just kicking it in the Sanctum Sanctorum. I think that's all we know. He was just
so
doing
mean
something.
To me.
No,
I'm like, is this so mean to me that I don't know when you're roasting me? I don't know when you're roasting me or when you guys are being serious.
Oh no, I'm just saying,
on Twitter.
I don't know.
I've made 10 Olafs and I've killed them all. I've made 10 Olafs and I've killed them all. I'm done.
Yeah, so he's just chilling. Okay.
They all need to die because Frozen.
Yeah, this movie is set after Far From Home. It's right after Far From Home, and it's like summertime going into fall, right? Because New York at the end of Far From Home seemed to be in the middle of the summer, but now these shots look like fall leaves are taking over the nearby parks.
Well, because you got Halloween decorations.
Yeah.
So it's Halloween. Yeah, it's
fall. So some time will have passed. Like, Peter gets arrested, and then he starts to try to adjust to the new normal of being a pariah, and, you know, about 2 months of that. And then he's like, you know what? That Halloween direction looks like Doctor Strange. I remember now that I have a friend named Doctor Strange. who I can ask to help me.
Well, and in the,
another
in the midst
reason
of all
why
that...
this Strange is probably weird, and not to say that his mental health isn't important, but why there's something up with him.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what the status of, I mean, talking about, you know, rogue theory, relationship theory, you know, we don't know what was going on with him and Rachel McAdams' character during that time before, you know, that point and the big blip. So, I mean, maybe he's also like in his feels, you know, breaking out the boombox and like just wanting to just, I mean, who knows?
who knows?
That's why I'm asking you guys.
Wait, we don't know. Why are you asking us?
Oh, I thought you knew. You guys don't work for Sony?
Oh,
I wish we did.
I do. I'm the one that leaked the trailer. Whoever has the balls to leak that trailer is the. I don't know. I would get shot.
Someone might be getting shot as we speak.
Yeah, like that still could happen. Mm-hmm. No, I think that a good chance of why the Sanctum could be frozen could be linked to. I sort of have two guesses.
Mm-hmm.
One could be completely due to where the hell Doctor Strange was in Far From Home. Like that could just be their way of. Like, they're coming back. It's like, oh, man, we just went on this weird frozen adventure. We just fought a Yeti. It was really crazy, man. Oh, yeah. What happened? Mysterio? Who? What's going on? So it could be that, or it could be the Sanctum is responding to whatever the hell Mordo is doing as a response to, you know, no more, like, too many wizards. And it's just like, oh, no, the magic in the world, it's going cold. I'm getting cold. I can't heat myself up.
It all goes back to Frozen.
It all just ties back to Frozen. So it's sort of reflecting the health of, like, the magic in the Marvel Universe.
That makes sense.
That's the idea I like. It's like Narnia rules. Like, when the White Witch takes over Tilda Swinton in a different cinematic universe, everything was frozen. It was a representing factor of the health of this place. Yeah. And, like, there's so much Harry Potter shit going on. Right? Am I the only one seeing, like,
I would hope so.
Dumbledore and Harry, like, a little bit? And, like, when Harry just walks into the Great Hall, he's like, why is it snowing? And they're like, oh, because Dumbledore's sad. Or, you know, there's, like, something.
Yeah.
Dumbledore's sad.
There's always some kind of, like, broader mystical reason why. And it's just, usually it can be explained quickly with a joke, and then we move on.
Like, Dumbledore ran out of episodes of Queer Eye, and he's pretty upset because that show's great.
Yeah,
and this is Dr. Strange doing.
MT, I think you got closest to the right answer. I'm giving you the point there.
Hooray!
Well done.
I can't wait to figure out it was just a door that exploded and I was right.
or the magical thermostat is broken and the repairman won't come for another 2,000 years.
Yeah, and he's just not
coming.
Exactly.
Before we move on to rogue questions, we want to thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. Our friends at Blue Chew have a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Speaking of midlife crises, Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at bluechew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength, and if you hate swallowing pills, good news, Blue Chew is chewable just like it says in the name. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew for free when you use our promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month free. And thanks again to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode. All right, guys. Back to Rogue Questions. We got some other big news this week of CinemaCon. That's where the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer initially premiered. We also got news about, like, the Matrix 4, Matrix Resurrections, and then the Batman. Apparently there's footage shown of that, or just news coming out about the Batman, the Robert Pattinson one from director Matt Reeves. And
Wait for it.
Matt Reeves said, quote, that his version of Batman could be the most emotional Batman movie ever made. So I want you guys to pitch me your theories on how the Robert Pattinson Batman will be the most emotional Batman.
And this is funny because this is the first, like, our final Rogue Question thing that's not just comedy inspired. It's like,
right?
How is this the darkest one possible?
But you can make it funny.
I don't want to.
Make it funny or no gold for you.
You know what? You know what's gonna happen? This is gonna be the Batman movie where, like, they just take it over the top with Bruce brooding over his parents. So every scene is gonna be like, my parents are dead. I can't, like, and he's fighting his Batman. He's just crying. He's like, I'm doing this for you, Dad. just crying every scene. It's like, yes, an emotional Batman. We want to see the side of Bruce.
I kind of do want to see that.
I think this is
saying I'm doing this for Thomas.
He is a mentally disturbed person. Yes, at the end of the day, Batman needs therapy. So, like, it would make sense for an over-emotional Batman to just beat up everyone in Gotham with tears in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me.
I will be his therapist. Specifically only Robert Pattinson's Batman. But I think kind of going off of MT's lines, this Batman that we're seeing is a Batman that's not really old enough to, like, know better, but also trying to do better. So when we saw that scene a long time ago of him just beating the hell out of someone and he just kept going, it was so, like, energized and charged with just, like, anger, and he didn't know how to place it. And that's why this Batman, kind of mirroring today, is just like, he's not a hero. It's like, he's not a hero. We don't know what to think of him because he's just beating people on the street when he's, like, also a villain deep down. Not a villain, but he's just a bad guy deep down. It's like, who are you to say who's the bad guy? You're following these orders from people given that are also bad. Right. So who are you? I think that's why it's going to be darker and more emotionally driven, is because it's mirroring not only, like, what's going on in the world, but just, he's just a sad boy that doesn't know what he's doing correctly.
Yeah.
He's a sad boy.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think just to kind of, since we're all piggybacking on all of that, like, I feel like it's going to dig deeper into just that psyche, that mental status of being angsty without having a proper outlet. I feel like Matt Reeves is going to take the opportunity to address all those things that we obviously know. Obviously, Batman is psychologically, you know, off the level and needs that kind of help. So I think Matt Reeves is going to use this film pretty much to establish that is the foundation of the world's greatest detective, in that emotionally, he's still that little boy who is with his dead parents in an alleyway, even in the form of a grown adult person or a young adult. And I feel like through this film, there's going to be a lot of loss that are just going to add on to that pile that he's already feeling. And so emotionally, we get the amazing opportunities to see that being exposed in the rawness of that emotion. Because once he's grown, once he's older, he knows how to mask a lot of that. He knows how to keep it from just pretty much every single person that's important to him, or they consider him important to him. And this is going to be an opportunity where it's just going to be a raw emotional opportunity, where you see that constantly in every instance, not only in fighting, but in just one-on-one silent moments.
See, I think that's a very good answer. I think you guys are right. That's probably what Matt Reeves, by it being an emotional movie. But here's what I think.
Oh,
I think what's going to happen is we're going to follow Robert Pattinson, Bruce Wayne, and in the final scene of the movie, he's going to be at his father Thomas's office, in a high rise.
Oh
and
my then gosh!
The camera is going to pull this. Out, and no. it's going to be the North Tower no. of the World Trade Center.
No,
and then nearby
oh my God,
school,
no.
it's going to be September 11th, 2001, and it's going to be the same movie as that awful Remember Me rom
that
romantic
the...
movie that came out. Where it was a surprise 9/11 movie.
I want to go.
We're all gonna cry because we're gonna be romantic.
I want to get out of this.
We all want to get out
make,
from it.
I thought you were gonna make like a Planet of the Apes reference because Matt Reeves directed
no.
that.
But in a way, it is our planet, really and we blew it up and damn us all to hell.
Damn you! Damn you!
I thought you were tiptoeing towards that. I'm like, no, he wouldn't go. Is he? Is he?
And instead, I sprinted into
you
it.
Ran past the finish line and all the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, he's
the
still
gate
going.
There
he's
we go.
Oh, no. Beelining.
No, I really hope it's not.
Hey, you asked
really
for an emotional so, Batman movie.
So does that mean we're getting Pierce Brosnan as Thomas Wayne?
Yes. Oh yeah, I think it works. Works for me. Ah. Run, true. Anyway, no, we're look. Going. We're moving on. Jessica, for having the proper emotional response to my awful pitch, gets 2 points, and yeah. you win this episode of Rogue Theory. It was a test. I Willy Wonka you. I tested you guys, and only Jessica succeeded.
I hate this so much.
Like, no, I was very much like 9/11. Maybe let's not do 9/11.
God, I
know.
Not to make a
pitch.
Joke
I'm not
of it.
Seriously pitching 9/11.
I know,
a
I know.
Movie.
Sounds like you really are, Vaughn. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Oh
you
God,
guys just got too
horrible.
Sincere in your answers. You missed the forest for the trees.
You guys don't know comedy like I know comedy.
Yeah. Horrible, horrific terrorist events that happened where people died. That's funny. That's comedy. If I can't make jokes about that anymore, why do we come to?
Yeah, this white male comedy. I've always hated it.
Well, Jessica, you win. Everyone
Thanks.
Wins. Not me, though. I lose. But that's
thank
okay.
You. Thank you.
We're all winners.
That's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank our guests, Jessica Clemens, Eddie Villanueva, and MT. Follow all three of them on social media. Support them in all of their endeavors. You can support this channel by checking out our new limited edition No Way Home shirt and this What If shirt at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at EA Voss. Follow New Rockstars. Subscribe to New Rockstars here on YouTube. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.